Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. What an awesome morning it's been so far. Thank you, worship team. Can we give it up for them one more time? Thank you, Jessica and the team, leading so powerfully this morning. So I'm really glad you came today because we're beginning a brand new sermon series called Anxious for Nothing. I really believe this is a timely word for the times that we're living in today. This series is for those that are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, worried, fearful. This is for people who can't sleep at night. This is for people who are really feeling a little uncertain about the future. And my prayer for you over these next 21 days, these next 3 weeks that we talk about this topic, and I'm going to encourage you, we're going to camp at Philippians chapter 4. My prayer is that you would allow God's word and his truth to give you peace. A peace that you've never experienced. A peace that surpasses your understanding. A peace that guards your heart and mind. Not only to give you a peace, but to give you rest. That's my prayer. So as we begin on this Sunday morning, I know we've prayed already a couple times, but can we just bow our head and our hearts and release everything to God? We release it to you, Jesus. We release our worries, our fears, our problems, our concerns. And Lord, at this moment, we prepare our heart and our mind to receive your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said amen and amen. Y'all ready? Ready to dive in? So I want to begin talking to you about an experience I had not too long ago with virtual reality. Anybody seen these before? Anybody have a set of these? These VR headsets? Anybody? Let me see your hands. Yeah? Pretty cool, right? I always saw them and thought it would be cool to kind of put them on and try it out. So a few weeks ago, a very good friend of mine brought them to the church office. He was here. We were meeting with him, and he said, "Joe, I want you to try these on." I'm like, "Awesome. This is going to be amazing." I couldn't wait. So he says, "What I want you to do is when you put them on, I want you to go into the elevator and hit the top floor. Okay? And when the elevator opens, I want you to take a step out of the elevator." Sure. No problem. So I get to the top floor. The elevator doors open, and here is what I saw. Okay, here I am. The door opens. I'm like, oh, no. There's no way I'm walking out onto that thing. He says, "Joe, you're safe. Walk out to the edge of the plank." I'm like, "I ain't walking out to the edge of the plank." He goes, "Joe, you're safe." So here I am. Guys, you have that video? Check this out.
This is hysterical. Do you see a cake? At the end of the plank?
I'm not at the edge yet.
There should be a...
Is there something out
there? Seriously, I can't walk out on this thing.
Come on, man. You can take a step. You are safe. Take a step.
This is hysterical.
It's hard, right?
What happened?
I died. I'm dead. This is my angel. This is the angel. That was so hard. Do you know why it was hard? Because my senses were telling me that I was not safe. It wasn't reality, because the reality was I was on a firm foundation. And I kind of had this thought that many people are feeling that they're about to fall out of a building, or that the sky is about to fall, or the world is about to end. Come on, somebody, right? We have this feeling. We have these, the senses are telling us that, OMG, it's about to end. And I don't know what that means for you. It could be because you're watching the news, or it could mean that you're going through a tough health issue, or you might be going through a relational issue, and your senses are telling you, you know what, you're about to fall out of a building. But I came to tell you today, regardless of what your senses are telling you, when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God through Jesus Christ becomes your foundation. And according to Scripture, He's just not a foundation. He is a firm foundation. He is the rock of our lives. He is the rock that we build our lives upon. So regardless of what your senses are telling you today, I came to tell you it's going to be okay. Because when you follow Jesus and when you build your house on the rock, the winds will come. And the waves will crash, but your house is going to remain standing because you are building on the foundation, which is called Christ. Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you that some of you are going through life with these VR headsets on. And you're watching and you're sitting there watching cable news. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to end. Or you're looking at your circumstances with these glasses on. But I just want to encourage you, take them off. Because what that does is that it causes anxiety. It causes anxiety in your life. Did you know that cable news is more focused on making money than they are telling the news? Come on, somebody, right? They want you to remain hooked. And they recognize that the way they're going to keep you to come back is to continue to pump you with bad news. Fear and uncertainty. I remember as a kid growing up, I grew up in the city, grew up in the Bronx, and by fifth grade, I was taking the bus to school, fifth grade. I was taking the bus to school. I would walk out of my building, come down, walk to the bus stop, which is on the other few blocks away, then take the bus all the way to school. By seventh grade, I was taking the public bus back and forth, up and down to the city. If you asked me to give permission to if my son was sixth grade or seventh grade to do that, I'd be like, there ain't no way. There ain't no way I'm allowing my kid to take the public transit. Why? Because there's criminals. There's bad people out there. They want to kidnap you. They want to steal your phone. And prior to COVID, because I know it's kind of crazy right now, but prior to COVID, did you know that the city was safer prior to COVID than it was when I grew up? Y'all didn't know that, didn't you? The reason why is because we have these devices, we have these phones, we have computers, we are connected to the world like never before. And if there's one crime that happens in the city, the world knows about it in about 60 seconds. And it starts creating this script of fear and anxiety. And many of us are living full of fear and anxiety. And I just came to tell you today, the title of my message is really simple. I just came to tell you that regardless of what you're watching, regardless of what you're seeing, regardless of what you're experiencing in your personal life or in the world, I came to tell you just to keep calm and trust God. Keep calm and trust God. Keep calm and trust God. God is in control. Don't be overcome with anxiety. Instead, overcome anxiety with God's peace. So, today, let me ask you this question. What are you anxious about? What's got you worked up in your life? What are you worried about? As you know, for many of you, you might think that as a pastor, I don't worry. I don't get anxious. I don't become fearful. But I just came to tell you, I am not Superman. I do not glow in the dark. I am a human being that struggles with anxiety sometimes also. I remember dropping my kid off this past August in Miami with his car. That'll give any parent some anxiety. How many know that, right? Now, in Miami, they don't know how to drive. In New York, they know how to drive. We drive in the traffic, and we'll come up right up to your grill. We won't scrape you. We won't touch you. We'll just get right there and play a little power game. You're going to let me. I'm going to let you. You're going to let me. And then we get, all right, I'll let you through. And we'll just be like, and we'll just let you through. We don't crash into each other, scrape each other's car. In Miami, they just crash into you. It's true. My son's like, Dad, someone banged me from behind again. I banged somebody else in the front. It was just like bumper cars. They don't know how to drive anywhere outside of New York. You ever know that? So I just imagine my son, 20 years old, driving in the highways of Miami. I was worried and anxious. It's also anxious when my wife recently, she shared with you about her potential diagnosis of her thyroid. Thank God she's clear, she's good, she's healthy. Thank God for that. But your mind plays games on you. And you start expecting the worst. You see, what is anxiety? Anxiety is angst, it's the root word angst, worry, and dread. And that's what we start feeling and thinking when we come into situations that appear uncertain. You know, anxiety is different than fear. Fear is when you walk out of your backyard and see a bear, right? For you country folk. If you're in the city, you walk out of your front apartment and you see a rat, right? The rats in the city are like bears. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, I was there, I don't know, whenever, and I'm like, is that a cat? Is that a dog? And they stop and they look at you in the city. I mean, it's true. I hope I didn't offend any New York lovers. I love New York. I'm from New York, raised there. I love it. I lost my train of thought. Okay, so, fear is when you see it and you go, yeah. Anxiety is that I ain't going outside because there's going to be a bear that's going to eat me or a rat that's going to eat me. How many know what I'm talking about? It's that dread. It's that uncertainty. Anxiety is like a meteor shower of what ifs. Like, what if? What if I walk outside? What if I go jogging and get hit by a car? What if my son takes the car? What if it's cancer? What if it is the end of the world? What if we run out of food? What if? That's what anxiety is. I love Max Lucado, who's an awesome author. If you really need to read deeper on this topic, read his book, Anxious for Nothing. This is what he says. He says, anxiety is a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread, a wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm, but a certainty that one is always coming and is just for you. Anxiety, just for you. It's that low-grade fear, this dread, this angst, just won't stop. It's running through your mind. Anxiety is so powerful that it can cripple you. It impacts every area of your life. It impacts your work. It impacts your sleep. It impacts how you live. It impacts the places you go. It impacts the things you do because so many people are struggling with anxiety. And the anxiety I'm talking to you about is not necessarily chemical anxiety that requires medication. there are people that need medication to deal with a chemical imbalance. And they need those medications to help them level out or balance out. I'm more talking about situational anxiety. But you get a notice in the mail from the doctor and says, we need to talk to you about those tests. You watch the news and you see, oh my goodness, we could be on the brink of a world war. Past 2 years have been full of anxiety, haven't they been? And without realizing it, the anxiety creates a script in our minds and in our hearts that always something is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. Let me tell you, for the first few months of the pandemic, I had a lot of anxiety. And I was fearful of getting sick and dying, like many of us did. Am I right? We all were. And I just want to tell you that I got COVID twice. And I can tell you this, the anxiety was worse than COVID for me. It was. And I realized that, you know what? If I don't overcome anxiety, anxiety will overcome me and dictate everything I do and how I live and how I see the world. You see, anxiety is the number one mental health issue in our society today. And America is the number one nation that struggles with anxiety. Why is it that we have the most resources, live in the most free country, and have the greatest freedoms, yet we're the most anxious? Well, there are some causes for anxiety. These are some rapid social change. There has been more change this past 50 years that I've been alive. I mean, I was talking to my youngest son recently about college, and I told him, yeah, when I went to college, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. We had typewriters, and when word processors came out, remember those with the little screen? You can actually type and then hit the button, and it'll print out 10 pages. Y'all don't remember that? That's the way it was for me in college. We had pay phones. We had calling cards. Big thing for me was when I had my beeper. So sport it on my side like this. On my beeper. And I love it. I had a leather case. Mine had a leather case. I was living in the city, 1992, Manhattan, that's right, yo, on my beeper. Then it would go off. And you just wait, let everybody hear it. Oh, it's my girl. Find the payphone. Y'all got a quarter? 10 cents, I think it was. This is the truth. Hey, mom, you beeped. It was mom. It was no girl. It was, you know, it was your mother. It was your mother calling you. It was not your girl. Trying to act all tough. Your mom kept beeping you and beeping you and beeping you. That's the way it was for me in the city when I went to college. It was beep, 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 beep. All right. Technology. What's interesting is that we are living the Ukraine war. Think about that. Years ago, they would report a war, send it to newspapers, and then you would read it a few days later. Now you're getting just instantaneous updates, watching bombings, looking at the devastation. Doesn't your heart break to see that? Does something to your soul, though. Causes you to be fearful and uncertain. Then there's the global threats of a global war. Then there's the pandemic. Then there's media saturation, which is nonstop. Our souls, and I've said this, I've preached this so many times, our souls were not created to watch the news, be connected to the news cycle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Most recently, I stopped watching the news until when the war started. I said, I got to watch snippets here and there. I got to watch snippets. And I remember, it's crazy. I'm watching the news more and more now. trying to get, you know, updated, informed. And I think I was watching so much that it affected me. I had a dream. And in the dream, it was Ruth and I in the back seat of a limo. And it was President Biden and Jill driving the limo. You know you're watching too much news. When the president was driving you around in, what do you call the presidential limo? Yeah. And the thing is, I wasn't worried about anything except, this is a true story. I don't know if I should say this story, but I was just worried about crashing because I knew I was president. I was like, it's going to crash. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to crash. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to crack. It's just my dream. I've been watching too much news, people. But doesn't it affect you subconsciously? That affects your dreams? It's a low-grade fear, an uncertainty. By the way, we need to pray for President Biden. He's our leader. He's our president. We have to pray for him. But isn't that what happens? Media saturation? What about personal crisis? It's anxiety. We all have little crisis, personal crises, some bigger than others. And my main point is this, that if we don't overcome anxiety, anxiety will overcome us. And this is the point, that we don't have to live anxious. We don't have to be dominated by fear and worry. We can be dominated with peace. And that's what I want you to walk away with these next 21 days, is peace. Philippians chapter 4 is going to be our main text. And this is Paul writing. Now, before I read, I want you to write these verses down. We're going to read from 4 to 8. I want you to read it every day for 21 days until we're finished with this series. 21 days, I want you to read this passage. Before we get into this, let me just give you a little bit of what Paul's writing. First of all, he says what? Rejoice. Okay? And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again. That's the way he said it, you know. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be made evident to all. The Lord is near. How many of the Lord is near? Rejoice. I don't know if Paul was thinking about the second coming of the Lord, which I think he probably was, because the disciples believed that they were living in the last days. But he recognized that the Lord is near. I just came to tell you, I want to tell you that the Lord is near. The Lord is not only near personally, but he's returning very soon. We probably, I used to say might be, now I'm saying probably, we probably are the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. We're probably going to be that generation. Paul says, rejoice. There's no reason to fear. The Lord is near. Then he says this, do not be anxious about anything. Really? So here's Dr. Paul prescribing to us a remedy towards anxiety. And he says, don't be anxious. Well, Paul, you haven't lived in 2020. I just want to let you know, 2021, 2022. Well, let me just give you a little background of what Paul was experiencing. First of all, Paul was beaten and tortured on numerous occasions. Paul is penning this with scars and wounds on his back from a prison cell in Rome. He was shipwrecked 3 times, falsely accused, tortured, and beaten. And he said, I understand the secret of contentment. I understand there was a time in my life where I had plenty and I had nothing. He endured so much pain and so much, so many challenges in his life. And now he's in a prison cell, hunched over, writing with Nero as the emperor of Rome. He's in a Roman prison cell. Now, Nero was responsible for killing Christians, lighting them up on fire. And Paul is on death row. He's on death row, uncertain that he would even see tomorrow. And he says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And he says, and the, what church? Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart, which is, I put that in there, emotions, and your mind, which is your thoughts, in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. There is another way. You don't have to live controlled by anxiety. You can overcome anxiety by experiencing God's peace. I'm going to skip this and come back to it later. So what does he say? He says, keep calm and trust God. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you just have to understand that control belongs to God. One of the biggest causes of anxiety is when we feel the loss of control. You know what I'm learning as I'm growing older? I don't have control of a lot of things that I thought I had control over. I don't even have control of my appetite sometimes. I don't know about you. I think I control the world. I think I can control the church. I think I can control the family. I think I can control the affairs of life. But I can't even say no to an Oreo sometimes. I don't have control. I need that extra slice sometimes. I have to eat that wing sometimes. But what I'm learning throughout my adulthood, spiritual adulthood, is that I need to relinquish control to God. And a lot of times I'm anxious because I don't have control. But when you understand God is in control and you surrender your life to God, then that brings a peace in your heart that guards your heart and mind. And I believe some of you, the reason why you're struggling with anxiety is because you're still the CEO of your life. You're the CEO and the COO and the CFO. But God wants you to resign. He wants to be the CEO of your life. He wants to be the COO of your life. He wants to be in charge. But until we relinquish control to God, we're going to be stressing out about everything. And it's going to impact every area of our life. It'll impact where we go and what we do and what we think and how we live and how we raise our kids. And so many of us are raising anxious kids because we're full of anxiety. We got to recognize, God, you're in control, even of my children, even of my grandchildren. You're in control, and I surrender. I quit. Why don't you say that with me? I quit. I resign. I'm done. Control belongs to God. Then you got to ask God for peace. Say, Lord, I need your peace. Flood me with your peace. Do not worry about your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, what you should wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That brings peace. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Christ. And some of you are thinking, I'll have peace when all of this stuff goes away. We thought we were going to have peace when COVID disappeared. How many are with me on that? Like, I wish just with COVID disappear and we'll be at peace, we'll get our old life back, and now we're like inflation and wars and rumors of wars and uncertainty of the future and more variants and more this and more that. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of Christ in the problems. And when you have Jesus, you have peace. You also not just ask God for peace, you leave your worries with God. You release everything to God. You give him everything. You give him everyone. You say, God, I leave this to you. I give it to you. I release this into your care. And then I love it. This last part is what? Meditate on good things. In other words, you're not going to have peace while you're wearing these. These are going to mess with your head, mess with your senses. I'm not saying not to be informed. And I don't mean you ignore reality. But so often, when we have these on, our senses are telling us the opposite of reality. When we take these off and meditate on good things, what does Paul say those good things are? He says, whatever is true. What's true? God's in charge. He's on the throne. He's in control. Whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think. New King James Version uses the word meditate about such things. Meditate. And this is the transition I want to make. Because I can tell you today, don't be anxious. Have peace. But most of you don't know how to find peace. First of all, you find peace in a relationship with Jesus. The greatest peace you can have is peace with God. Having a relationship with Jesus. That means you invite Jesus into your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. You're a brand new person. That's relational peace. But then there's situational peace. How do I find peace in my situation? And Paul says it. He says, meditate about such things. Think about such things. And I started thinking to myself, the reason why we struggle with anxiety and don't experience peace is because we don't create space to think and meditate. Because it's in silence and solitude that we discover peace. Peace. It's creating space in our life. It's about unplugging from the noise of the world. It's about unplugging from all of the stuff that's bombarding our minds. And it's about creating space in our lives to be with Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And when I'm with Jesus, I have peace. When you're with Jesus, you will have peace. Because when Jesus is with you, there's nothing that come against you. Nothing that come against you. You know, I can face the world all by myself, and I can tell you, I will get beat up by the world. Ever been beaten up by the world? But when I have Jesus with me, come up here, John. Come up here, John. When I have Jesus with me, there's nothing that can stop me. Right? When I'm alone and you come at me, I'm going to try to fight you off. Right? You come at me, you know, I might be like, whoa, you look tough, right? Whoa. And I just try to do a fake like that, like growing up. Yeah, come on, come on, come on. And then all you do is like, but try me now. What's up? What's up, bro? What's up? What's up, Corey? You want to play? Come on. See, Jesus is my protector. Jesus is my guide. Jesus is my leader. Jesus fights my battles. When I have Jesus, I have peace. But when I don't have Jesus, come on. Come on. Now, I know Corey could probably take me. Back in the day. Come on, not my. Come on, somebody. Not today. But when you're with Jesus, you have peace. And sometimes Jesus will protect you. And sometimes Jesus will guide you. And sometimes Jesus prays for you. Actually, all the time, he prays for you. And sometimes Jesus encourages you. And sometimes Jesus carries you. Come on. Come on. Right? Sometimes he carries you. Thank you. You're awesome. You're awesome. Right? And that happens when you have a relationship with Jesus. But when there's no Jesus, you don't have peace. You're looking around. Oh my, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to get through this? I can tell you how. Go to Jesus. He will sustain you. He will uphold you. You see, we find that in solitude. In solitude, we're still, we're silent, we're with God. We pray, we read scripture, we listen, we give attention to our souls, we unplug, we think, and are present with what is. And that does something to our souls. So I want you for the next 21 days to create space in your daily life to sit in solitude and silence with Jesus. Solitude is not necessarily a place you go to out there. It's a place within you. And you connect with God. You unplug from the noise. And you simply sit with what is. You simply sit with your Savior. And you bring your worries to Him. Lord, I am just so stressed out. I'm so worried. I'm not telling you not to be worried. I'm saying bring that to Jesus. And Jesus will give you peace. He'll flood your soul with peace.